We are delighted to be with Thomas Frank, Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon. I found myself as, and I had to sort of read The Wrecking Crew in pieces because it is overwhelming. And there is this.
You got it in a good way.
In a fabulous way. Because it
says.
It's
also very depressing. And I'm sorry for saying this, but it was a challenge because there's so much in there that we've known, we've watched. You connect it in ways that I'd never seen it connected before. And in some ways, it's even more trivial than I thought.
But also the know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Or the truth will make you mad, or the truth will the truth will go buy you a big bottle of scotch.
To get through it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you can, it really is the truth will set you free. When you know this stuff, when it is no longer just so big and so overwhelming that it shuts you down, which I think I've been maintaining for a decade, that America has been in the throes of a deep clinical depression. We just didn't know what to do. We were overwhelmed by all this stuff, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm helpless. And helplessness is one of those markers for depression. Well, the way you get unhelpless, the way you start back up that very high mountain where I'm going to have to climb to put it all back together again, is to know what in the world was going on in this crazy place.
Yeah.
I wrote myself one note. I wrote myself many notes on the other pages, but on the back of the book, I have my own back leaf. It is Market Uberalis.
My God, Paula, show it to the camera.
No. Market Uberalis. And it seemed to me, I grew up in a very religious family, and I once asked, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? And this, you know, this is a little kid answer. Well, the Old Testament tells you what not to do, and the New Testament tells you what to do.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's this first one about, I'm the only God and you shouldn't worship any other? Oh, okay, that's the first commandment. Well, when you, and the second, you know, the New Testament is do right, love each other. But when you have violated that first commandment, which is 4,000 years old and represents at least Western civilization's part of our heritage, when you have violated that first commandment, and Market Uberalis is the defining, forgive my corrupting the word, ethic, that has profound consequences.
Oh, it certainly does. I mean, just before the break, Bill said it. I mean, this is the market applied to politics, and that is the thesis of the book. In a single sentence, these are the instruments by which market forces were applied to the state. And they sometimes say this very openly and directly. George Bush himself has said, government should be market-based. Government should think about that. Government should be market-based. What does it mean to put, you know, the public functions at the service of profit? Well, it means we're all seeing what it means. It means that you outsource the departments.
Did I mention it wasn't sustainable?
You're
also describing as the mafia.
Yeah,
and that is also a market-based
institution.
Institution.
And by the way, there's a whole chapter in the book. Another way of summarizing the book is we were in the break. We were talking about Lincoln Steffens, sort of a forgotten author nowadays, but he was a great muckraker and wrote about. He had a theory of corruption. Which is very, I was looking for corruption theories because, you know, it's a study of corruption, among other things. So the way they've wrecked the state, and the corruption is related to the misgovernment. The two things are you know, a yin and yang.
And
Jack Abramoff, George Bush.
And Lincoln Steffens is writing coming out of the Gilded Age and all the robber barons. And there are a lot of folks who've never heard of him. But this is the turn into the 20th century.
That's right.
So here 100 years ago.
Yeah. Also predominantly the Republican Party.
Right.
That's right, but the Democrats had a hand in it as well back then. But
oh, they're not innocent.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
But stick with this idea.
Okay, but Steffens was very useful to me because he had a theory of corruption, and he put it in the mouth of one of the guys that he interviewed, who was a reformer in St. Louis, and the guy said, "It is good business that causes bad government," and this was the light bulb went on in Steffens' head. And he started studying corruption in all these different cities. And in each case, it was business applied to government. Do you know one of the Chamber of Commerce used to have a slogan? It was their saying. It was, what was it? Less government in business, more business in government.
Which you say has been the conservative.
It's their mantra, yeah.
Always.
Yeah, it sounds benign on the surface. You want government to be able to do, you know, basic bookkeeping.
Oh, people say that to me all the time. We just need to be more business-like in government.
But in one sense, that's perfectly harmless. But what they mean, think about the deeper meaning of that. To like Bush says, government should be market-based. Or like they said in the Clinton era, you needed entrepreneurial government. You need, you know, and all. What you know what this means, of course, is it's turning government over to the market. It's getting rid of the civil service, putting them on a for-profit basis. But when government is for profit, then government is up. It's no longer democracy. It answers to money, not to we the people. It's plutocracy. And this is also what Stephens discovered. And he used to say in his book, in what I think it's in his autobiography, he would relate how he would sit down with these very corrupt politicians in different cities. He loved to do this. And he would tell them his theory. And he'd say, look, what you're doing seems like good business. You're making a lot of money here in Philadelphia or whatever it is. But think about what you're doing to the country that you love. And these people were all, you know, they loved their country. Everybody does. And he would explain to them that they were making it from a democracy into a plutocracy. And then he would say, in each case, these people would be shocked and they would understand that he was right and they would be alarmed by this. And the difference between then and now, I mean, there's many, many differences between then and now, but one of them is that doesn't shock these people. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what they have done.
There's also a piece. Stephens did not have to deal directly. The environment he was working in did not have to deal directly with the personhood of corporations. The supposed Supreme Court decision had been rendered by that point. It didn't say that, but that's another story.
And it didn't happen.
But we now have this
and that came
condition
in the
70s. where corporations are treated as people under the Constitution of the United States, which means they have all the rights and privileges that you and I have, except they don't get to die. So they're not obligated
which
to.
Which is bad news.
And it's hard to put them in jail. I mean, there are all sorts of strange problems with that. But what you're, you know, the core of this, it's not just the market. It's not just the economics. It is the entities, the individuals who are dominant, the powers in business and the resources that they can bring to bear that is really the focal point of that. That is the real engine that drives this thing you're talking about, because it runs on money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys didn't quite finish the part about the reporters, and it is the direct feedback into what Bill's saying. Some of the answer to why it hasn't been reported is because these reporters work for and get their living from big businesses who are making big money off of this very process.
But I should also mention that reporters aren't, they don't do analysis. They don't connect dots.
Well, they could
if they felt like it, but they wouldn't be able to do it in the newspaper. Not in the newspaper's time. They wouldn't look. I didn't report all of this stuff firsthand. My stuff comes from the Washington Post, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and things like Government Executive Magazine, which you would only read if you live in Washington, D.C.
Hot dog!
Yeah. No, but hey, if you want to write a book like this, you're going to be reading Government Executive Magazine.
You're a hardcore insomniac, I assume.
And, hey, there's some good reporters over there. I mean, I made friends with them.
Well, at least they collected this stuff for you.
But then it's up to people like me to try to develop a theory out of this. And so that's what I was trying to do, is what Lincoln Stephens did was develop a theory. Now, let me take a step back here. There is the second to last chapter of the book is about the conservatives' corruption theory, because they got their own corruption theory.
Well,
you know what their theory is?
Can you do it in 12 seconds?
It's not that the state might be corrupted. It's that the state is corruption. How do you like that, Paula?
It takes my breath away. We're going to be back in a moment. I'll think about it. Stay with us.